Hello, reader. You're plugged in to another episode of PageCast, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. We hope you enjoy it.
Hello, PageCast listeners.
Hello, PageCast.
I'm Karen Dudley. I'm a chef and an author. And today we have Claire. Say your surname for us, please.
Dunut.
Dunut in a French kind of way.
But you can call me Condiment Claire. It's much easier.
You are Condiment Claire.
Somehow. Mm. Somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
I might be Condiment Karen.
With a K.
Oh, with that K.
We got it. Okay. You're officially Condiment Karen from now on.
Now, I have to say, when I looked at your book that we're doing for this PageCast. Yeah.
Don't you forget it.
I thought, I am your woman. I'm your woman. I am your condiment. It's beyond condiments. It's dressings. It's relishes. We are in the world of flavor. And I, as you can see, I kind of live in this world. These are just some of the goodies I have. This tray that I've put together here are kind of mostly South African flavors. But apparently you are way familiar with these flavors. But we'll go over those again.
We'll go over them. But let me just say, I see the Danya chutney.
Do you see the Danya chutney? Hello, quality
that,
pickles.
When I tell you my
quality pickles, no preservatives.
So delicious. So delicious.
The finest. Yes, the Danya chutney.
The Danya is really important
to me. I also have
me.
The Meebos chutney.
Yes.
So have we been to Meebos land?
We have not.
We have not been to Meebos land.
I don't believe we have.
I can introduce Condiment Claire to a new flavor.
We love a flavor.
Okay, we're gonna get onto that. Okay, but all these, I live in this land,
and I love your land.
I live in this land, and I think it's because, Condiment Claire.
Yes, Condiment
Claire. I'm interested in where. And it's partly from my upbringing and partly from my story. Yes. I'm interested where flavors sit beside each other. And it's not just the thing. It's mm-hmm. kind of how they up against each other. And I find that so exciting. And I have many questions for you.
I have many questions for you.
Many questions for you. But I think that's what might excite you too. Yeah. Like what?
Completely.
Please tell me like how you came to this ferocious curiosity.
I think I've always been interested in what's on the plate in front of me. I studied history, but for me, if I have a dish in front of me, I want to know where it comes from. Mm. And I think the fact of the matter is when you go to a new place, if you visit a new country or region or neighborhood even, everyone has their form of, you know, making a chicken, for example. Yes. But it's what you put on it that makes it so yours.
Yes.
Whether it's the way your grandmother makes it, or your community, or your country. And if you look at what that element is, that's always the condiment.
Yeah.
Because condiment comes from the Latin word condire, which means to enhance the flavor of something. Yeah. So it's something that's not needed. Like, you don't really need any of this.
No.
But it just...
But...
You kind of need it if you're...
You kind of need
it. So to me, it's my way of allowing, you know, learning about different people in different places. Because I'm the first person to say that, I'm from X, Y, and Z place, but I'm never going to fully understand a different culture unless I really go, into someone's home. It's not about going to the restaurants in those countries. It's about sitting down at a table in someone's home. Yeah. So thank you for having me in your home.
Such a pleasure.
And I can't wait to look
I'm loving this anthropological angle to things. I love that because I think that is so how we connect with flavors.
Yeah.
And the flavors that kind of really call to us and kind of bring up all kinds of nostalgia and make us connect with places and things.
Yeah.
And I think it's also so interesting. You know, here in the Cape, I personally feel like we are not tied to any particular cultural obligation.
Which is what makes the food so delicious here.
Which is why the food is so good.
It's so good.
Because we're like the little boy that was throwing the stone at the Casper during the riots in the 70s and 80s. And because we were accustomed to breaking rules.
Yeah.
And we're curious, like madly curious. Madly innovative, and we're ready to push boundaries, and we want big flavor.
Well, that's honestly, I didn't know much about South African cuisine in general the first time I came, and then I came down to Cape Town, and I just fell in love with the flavors here because they're all mishmashes of like Cape Malay spices and like a little bit of sweetness because I came during peach season, and then there's also that salty element, and for me, I love I love a good flavor mishmash. And yeah, I think, you know, there's taste, which is salty, sweet, bitter, acid, umami. But then there's flavor. That's also color, texture, smell, but more importantly, nostalgia and memory. Mm-hmm. And I think people here really care about that and they dive straight into it. But they're also not offended if you put your own take on it just to experiment with flavor.
Yeah.
And for example, my dad's side of the family is French. We like things done a certain way.
Yeah.
I go home and I'm like, guys, there's this really fun cheese board. I made this tomato vanilla basil jam. You'll love it. Everyone in my family is like, we don't want to taste it. I'm like, okay, suit yourself. But here, I had an interview last year where
people are like,
I was like,
give
I
it
love
to us.
Biltong with Mrs. Ball's chutney and Dijon mustard mishmashed together. And they're like, that's weird. Okay, we'll taste it. I was like, oh, my, I just.
A breakthrough.
I'm so happy. A breakthrough. I can't wait to, you know, explore more of, you know, the different cultures in Cape Town, especially through flavor, because that's my way in.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting that flavor can take you to places like, I've not been to Vietnam, but I can, a Nam Gym.
We're the same
totally kind of turns me on. A Nam Chuk, Nam Gym kind of turns me on. You
Completely.
Know, I kind of only recently got to Japan. Deeply roasted sesame, knock you dead every time, you
I'm
know.
I'm a big ponzu girl.
Oh, you're like, a ponzu girl. I have a ponzu somewhere. I have a ponzu something somewhere. Anyway, but it, even though I've not been there, I can make a Nam Gym.
Yeah, exactly. In a really accessible way, too. It's you don't need to spend, you know, 5 bajillion pounds on caviar. Mm-hmm. You can use the condiments to get that flavor, and you can put it on what you want, and you can travel through a jar, which I think is so special. Whether you make it or whether you buy it at the store, it kind of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's completely up to you.
Yeah.
I think that's what's so nice about that.
So I think your book is freaking amazing.
Thank you. Just I think you're amazing.
And so the way I would describe it, and tell me if I'm mad.
It's a mad book, so I don't think
it's
you
a
can
mad
go
book.
Wrong.
It's, well, firstly, I sense in you a slight craziness.
A slight craziness.
I sense in you a slight craziness. There's this, what I would describe it, dear friends, as joyfully scientific. Is that a good word?
Is that good for us?
Because I want to know, were you doing these paintings? Okay, not only is there the scientific approach and sort of compulsion almost that you see.
So nerdy. It's like a really historically nerdy book, but with doodles that are somehow informative.
Were you drawing?
I was
condiment
not drawing.
Bottles.
No, that's not. That
from,
is not my work.
From when you were little. This is not your work.
I didn't. Well, no, the content is my work, but the illustrations are not.
So the illustrations are insane.
Yes. So there are this company called Evio out of Australia. They're in Sydney. And when I was writing the book, the first thing I told my publishers, I told them, listen, I will do this book, but I really want it to be nerdy. I'm going to have some history in there because that's the part that I care about.
Yeah.
I will, of course, have recipe for you.
Yeah.
But for me, the recipes were kind of the third part of it. I wanted history, nerdiness, and then I really wanted doodles and illustrations because that's the way my brain works. So when I think of a cheese and jam pairing chart, I would go to Evie that the illustrator, and I would say, I see it as a horizontal line. I see all the cheeses on top. I see all the things at the bottom.
Yeah.
And so I would write out kind of how I wanted it laid out. And of course, sometimes, you know, I was like, okay, this is my concept, but I don't know how it should look. Yeah. And they obviously created something gorgeous.
But amazing. I mean, they must have really tuned into your craziness.
Completely.
I mean, craziness in the best way.
Listen,
you
I'll
understand
take it. Good
the
or
best
bad,
way.
It's
because
just the truth. So
there's an like an obsessive curation and I find it. It's, you know, I live in this world, so I don't need the map so much. But other people find them really, really helpful. Me too. I mean, I'm
you're like, no, I hate your boyfriend. Yeah, I like the pictures, but otherwise, content.
The content is superb.
Thank you.
With all kinds of ideas. But now, tell me this also.
Yes.
When you were putting all these things together. Mm-hmm. It takes time. All these things take time. And you are a young person. How?
I wrote it in 2.5 months.
So you mean it was sitting there fermenting, anaerobic fermentation in your brain while you pulled it all out into like incredible method, you guys. Incredible method.
Thank you.
Amazing.
No, so I got my book deal end of May, and I had a September 1st due date. And I was like, great, let's do this. And I wrote it all in June. Mm-hmm. I did all the recipes in July. And when I was writing it, though, that's when I could imagine, okay, the doodles, yeah, the this, the that. Yeah. And I also wanted it to feel like I was holding the reader's hand, right, when I was going along. So there are annotations throughout the book that are in a different font that look like, you know, an arrow going this way. And like, and if you don't have this, use this or whatever it is. Because my main thing is I'm not a chef. I'm the first, yeah, person to say I'm not a chef. I have lots of friends who have worked in kitchens, and I have so much respect for that because I have never done that, but I understand flavor. And so it's the idea that you shouldn't have a boring Tuesday night meal, even if you don't know how to roast a chicken. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Like, get a few elements and you can keep it exciting. So yeah, I really wanted to hold the reader's hand, yeah, when I was writing it. And so those illustrations, those doodles kind of were in my brain when I was writing, mm-hmm, it in June. Recipes in July, which were probably the hardest part for me because having to test things over and over.
Well, this is what I mean. Like, the time it takes to figure things out that you want, that clove might go with persimmon, that...
But that was just my brain.
Was that your brain?
That's just my brain. Like, I've always put, like, cinnamon on persimmon just, like, as a snack. And I pickle persimmons, yeah, with, like, cloves and cinnamon, etc. Because I just think the taste of persimmon, someone who hasn't had it, tastes spiced to me. It tastes slightly spiced.
It tastes apricot-y to me.
Yeah. It's apricot-y.
it's asking for it. But when you cook persimmon, it sometimes goes really bitter. Have you noticed?
Yes.
Okay. But you take time to figure this, yeah, out. So I want to know a little bit,
yes,
about your process.
Okay.
How do you do it? What does your kitchen look like? How do you come to these things? And who's eating them? And what do you do with all your success? And when you find an unctuous, amazing thing,
yes,
what do you do?
Well, firstly, I jump up and down, probably, mm-hmm, scream a little bit, yeah, jump up and down some more, eat some of it, jump up and down some more, scream again. But my kitchen is a little chaotic.
Yeah.
I'm a very, like, type A, neat freak lady 101.
I can see from the sides.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But inside my fridge, mainly jars. I'm, mm-hmm, obsessed with carrots, so I always have some carrots in there, mm-hmm, too. I like carrots and cinnamon, carrots and, you know, peanut butter, et cetera. But anyways, yeah, lots of jars.
Preserved lemon hummus, yes.
Yum. My entire wine fridge is actually, yeah, a fridge for condiments.
Yeah.
So it's like 1.5 liter bottles of, like, yes, soy sauce and black vinegar and rice vinegar. I love Japanese flavors when it comes to different sauces. I grew up in Los Angeles.
So then there's, you would a like this. Of,
yeah. Let's see.
I think that this is amazing. I did it last night for my launch party.
Congratulations.
For my launch party.
She has a book.
Of
available in all bookstores. Don't for you forget upwards. It.
And one of the best things, I think, in this book. Yes. I think you're going to have a copy, aren't you? Have a little try of this.
Is this the same one?
That's the sip.
Guys, look. Taste it. Yummy. Thank you.
So I do, I'm going to put a piece of toast in for you because I kind of feel like that's... Mm.
That would be so delicious. Even like on a simple spinach salad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Condiment.
But also on like sushi rice.
Yeah, yum.
On a sushi rice. So I do an addition there, which is great, with pickled ginger. Sushi rice. Okay, firstly, well-seasoned sushi rice.
Yes.
Pickled ginger. Spring onion.
I'm an extra pickled ginger everywhere I go.
Schnuppy eggplant over the thingamajiggy, mm-hmm, with the deeply roasted sesame. So flavor.
Yes.
Has to be delivered in some way, right?
Yes.
What is your favorite vehicle for delivering flavor while I can think about what we're going to do?
This is a great... it depends. I think a crudité is kind of a great one.
Yes, a fresh thing, a little tiny Israeli cucumber.
It's slightly, yes, warm, as in like spices, etc. I love a carrot.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Otherwise, a cucumber, really nice.
Yes.
Endive, if it needs like a little bit,
yes,
of like,
a little bit of bitter business, yes.
Otherwise, I really love basmati rice, to be completely honest with you, as just like a bland, like not bland,
fragrant
but
rice.
Like really beautiful, like well cooked till you can taste the individual,
yeah,
rice bits.
So this should have a coconut, lime, coriander business, but I ran out of it last night. So, this is kale pakora with chutney podi.
Mm.
Chutney podi, peanut.
It's nice and like salty.
It's salty. Mm. I mean, let me just taste and see how you.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wait. Mm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Curry leaf, peanut, tamarind, palm sugar. a little bit of lime zest. If I can get
like
my
a little
if I can get my crut lime, that's the business.
Game changing.
But not always in season.
How do you add the tamarind to it? Is it like fresh tamarind that then you dry?
It's kind of these little little sticky balls.
Okay.
Of tamarind.
Mm-hmm.
I can get one for you. Do you think they'll let me do that, Sue?
I would love that.
Just stay right there.
Okay.
Stay right there.
Okay.
I'm coming. I'm moving. I'm moving out of frame, but I'll come back.
I'll be here.
I want you to see the tamarind ball so that you understand. In fact,
she really
I'd love you to have a tamarind ball.
Thank you. I always buy fresh tamarind and have to like crack it open and I like.
Life's too short, baby. Life's too
thank
short.
Thank you. Tamarind. The tasty tamarind. Conor McClure approved.
It's just sour. Thank you. Completely sour. And then, of course, the palm sugar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yum.
So it's
delicious.
Lots of curry leaf. Don't you love curry leaf also?
Yes.
I'm mad for curry leaf because you get that kind of nutty, warm business.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of toasted peanuts, garlic, chili.
Yeah.
Palm sugar, tamarind, and I blitz it all together. And I think it's the rocking business.
I have a question for you. I know that we love condiments, obviously, now that we're best friends.
Yeah.
The second most important food group, in my opinion, in terms of adding flavor, if you're not considering it a condiment, I think leaves and herbs, very underrated.
Absolutely. Can I tell you what I did last night at my launch party for my book, Upwards.
Upwards.
Yes.
By Karin Dudley, also known as Conor McCarran.
Perfect for a page cast.
Yes.
I have a cauliflower Caesar salad in my book. And I thought, how can I deliver this flavor to the people in sort of canapé, pick it up in your hands form? Leaf. Romaine, cos, little baby gem.
Exactly.
It's got that little... It's got that little vein asking for a little squeeze.
Exactly.
Asking for a little squeeze of the Caesar dressing. Can we just have a moment for a Caesar also? I'm going to make you a toast now, whether you like it or not.
I would love it. So,
how are we feeling? Shall we do a little Caesar? Let's actually just do that right now.
Great.
Let's do, what did I do with my toast? The little toast we prefer, talk about vehicles.
Yes.
Skinny.
Yes.
Crispy, because we're crispy people.
We're crispy, and we also want as much condiment as possible.
We want as much condiment as possible.
The vessel is not as important as the flavor.
Yes!
Obviously.
No.
Okay.
The proportion of filling and topping to vehicle.
How do you feel about a sandwich?
I'm fine with a sandwich. In fact, they call me the sandwich queen.
What's your sandwich of choice?
I myself like a really good baguette with a lot of butter, a lot of cold butter.
I'm just speaking to a friend.
And good
person,
ham.
So,
And good cheese.
Yeah.
That's
good
all I need.
Good jumbo
fromage. And then you have to squash it.
Do you have cornichon, like little pickles on there? Or grainy design mustard?
I save that for other sandwiches. I just want the purity and the simplicity. Yeah. Maybe a bit of Dijon. Actually, quite a bit of Dijon.
Yeah, a little grainy.
More of the English mustard.
That's okay. There are no wrong answers.
Okay, my goodness, because do we care if it's French or not?
I think it gives a different, you're never going to say it tastes the same.
No.
But you're going to say you prefer it, which is fine. You like that added heat.
Yeah.
You want the mustard powder.
I want the
not the vinegar.
Yeah.
See.
So that's my favorite, like a squashed ham and cheese.
Yum.
Delicious. But my sandwiches are quite famous.
So I've heard.
I need to tell you how famous.
Trust me, I've heard about how famous you are. I'm so starstruck right now. The fact that I'm sitting in your kitchen.
Again, talking about vehicles.
Yes.
I'd open the sandwich and scoopy scoop inside of the roll. Because we have to make space for the filling.
We understand each other.
Sunday tomato pasta with rosemary and parmesan and honey on the bottom. Yeah.
Yep.
To the very edges.
Yeah.
Gremolata pasta, parsley, garlic, lemon on the top.
Herbs.
Freshness.
Yeah.
Herby.
There you go.
Yeah.
We love herbiness.
Then we layer up whatever. Our grilled chicken, some mayo, some pickles. Here the pickles come in. Some tomatoes. Some love potion. The potion of love. Let's just do this. I'm going to do two little toasts for you. But The vehicle is terribly important. I have to run and quickly get you a plate.
That's okay.
Mm. I'm so happy to have you
I'm
here.
So happy to be here. Thank you. Can I get a plate? Can I help you?
No, you can just grab.
Also, these are the most beautiful plates I've ever laid eyes upon. And your little egg
drives my family
so cute too.
It drives my family a little bit crazy. I'm going to do a tiny bit of this butter since the butter people dropped off some Kerrygold.
Love a Kerrygold.
I know.
Love a Kerrygold.
They have a little butter club. They're very nice people. And very nice when they send you the Kerrygold.
Free butter. You've made it.
And actually, look, I've got their little butter knife because do we want to spread things with a sharp pointy knife?
No. Okay. Important question.
Yes.
How do you spread jam? With a knife or with a spoon?
Probably spooning.
Very French of you. If my friends come over, they're always flipped out because I have so many baby spoons and I use all of them for everything.
Baby spoons for everything because you have little bits.
Yeah. And this is a good baby spoon.
Yes. Yes. Sorry, it's a cheap and nasty one.
No, but the size is right. It's nice and oval. It's not too round. I think baby spoons are hard to get right.
Yes.
And even if they're cheap, they're also good.
Also good if they have a little pointy bit with which you can dot things, as opposed to one that's too round. Are we the same person?
I'm really worried that we've just met because I'm never going to speak to anyone else for the rest of my life.
They don't understand.
Just not never going to end. We'll be here in the next.
They're not understanding. They're not understanding. I think. Okay, so we're going to do a little tomato, and then I do have some. Can you see my pickles over there?
I can't see the giant jars of pink and yellow that I've been eyeing since I walked in. I walked into Karn's kitchen and I said, oh, hi, hello. But really what I was doing was not even looking at you. I was just looking straight at those crunchy, tangy things.
I curate a cheese course for a very glamorous restaurant here in Cape Town called Marble.
Nice.
And I think they're very clever to have me do it. And
I think they are too.
And because, of course, I can just play. And they just let me play and do all these delicious things. So hence why I have things. And every time I find a thing that might be at the market that's kind of a little bit cheaper, there's like tons of cucumbers.
Or
in this case, they were kind of really very, very reasonable. Very, very reasonable. We're going to do the Caesar on this one side.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. And I think we might also need a tiny bit of an olive oil.
Great.
Or a squeezy.
See, I also do all my supper clubs are usually cheese and jam pairings or cheese and condiment pairings.
Oh.
And we call them jams because one of my best friends is a DJ. So with every pairing of cheese and jam or cheese and condiment and wine, he plays a song that goes with the vibe of the cheese. Like whether it's really funky with like a fermented miso mushroom or...
Oh, come on.
So we're the same person.
We are the same person. And last night, it was quite sweet. My son, Ben, is a DJ and he played for our party.
Nice.
And my husband, my sweetheart, he also did a thing. Okay, well, let's do this one. Here's a little tiny
beautiful
guy over here. We'll just do it in half so we can share.
Yeah, we're sharing everything.
Because what is the point if we just have it by ourselves?
No, there's no point.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, I didn't cut him very well.
Thank you.
We need to look sort of vaguely elegant for...
amazing. But we must cheers.
Cheers, sister.
Ting. So nice to meet my long-lost identical twin.
Instead of going cling, we go,
we're leaving. We can go now. Don't look at us. This is like time to stand on top of your counter. No one's in your house. End of day. You're kind of hungry and then you realize you're starved and you're oh my God. Yum. The butter with the Caesar. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've actually ever done butter and Caesar. Mm-hmm. Game changing.
I know.
Because there's that added layer of just like creamy at the
bottom.
You
understand?
It's so nice. It's really, really nice.
Yeah. It's good, eh? Mm. Okay. I was telling you about the Caesar.
Mm. Mm.
Leaf. Squeezy of Caesar.
Yum.
Collies tossed in Caesar.
Cooked collies?
No. Raw, very finely shaved.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't think I've ever had that.
On the leaf.
Okay.
Pound of tartar.
Okay.
Parmesan.
The more parmesan, the better.
People pick up the leaf.
You know what I like to do when I order a Caesar salad out at a restaurant? Mm-hmm. It's like that the Caesar, if I know it's a restaurant that has little gem, mm-hmm. so in French, it's called mm-hmm. a sucrine too. It's like the little mm-hmm. with the vein, you know, you get mm-hmm. it, you get me. I always actually order the dressing on the side because what I end up doing is I dip a leaf, crunch, dip. It's like crudités in a dip.
I actually, in one of my other books,
yeah,
have an Italian crudité salad. Same thing. Caesar dressing, raw vegetables shaved. Fennel. Fennel.
Wait, I need to see
the celery. So that's book number 5.
But the cauliflower Caesar is in here.
Cauliflower Caesar is
okay,
in there.
I must see what this looks like.
Cauliflower Caesar is in there.
Cauliflower.
Now, what other flavors? So let's talk again about
my birth year. I knew. I knew I would love this.
You were
dish.
So young. You were so young. We can't actually be twins, Claire. We can't actually be twins.
Cauliflower Caesar. I'm ancient. Older. Everyone,
how
look
cool
this.
Is that? Do you see?
This is what we're eating.
Yeah.
Yum. I love that. And it's also, these are beautiful.
Aren't they lovely?
Yeah.
Again, that whole thing, you know, people ask, why do you do a book? Well, you do a book because it's written beautiful.
And for yourself.
And it's for yourself. And it's interesting. Mm-hmm. And you can learn so much. A lot of yeah, cool stuff in here. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I love this, what you were saying about holding people's hands. Because that's the way I write my books as well. It's kind of, I want people to know, if Karen can do it, then I can do it. And she's going to be right here next to me.
Exactly.
In one of my book here, you'll see it starts with, of course, with dress up, because
we love sauce.
we dress it. There's a crisp up, because, of course, we like it crispy. and there's also a buckle up, which is like, okay, we know how to roast a chicken. We know how to roast a vegetable.
Okay.
Now we're going to take on something a little bit. So it's going to push the boat out a little bit.
And then you freshen up.
Then you freshen
up. I love a fresh.
A freshen up the salad.
Okay. Guys, I need to stand. I'm so sorry. I'm too excited. I can't be sitting during this.
A plant up for you know, championing vegetables. I always wanted to do a thing like
this. I love leek spinach, right?
French. Okay. Explain to people what good value that is, the leek vinaigrette.
Firstly, vinaigrette.
So pure, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. The Dijon, the little tiny, tiny, tiny like diced red onion. Yeah. It just kind of stays there.
Yeah.
Nothing happens to it. You can't go wrong. You can make it days ahead.
Yeah.
It's just there. Soft, gloopy leeks.
And creamy.
Creamy and cool and a little bit gloopy.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit
better than
schloopy.
See, I use a little schloopy. I always say something so schloody, and my friend's like, what's schloody? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, it's just like it's like schloody.
Yeah, yeah.
And so my mom and I always say, like, it's schloody. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? Like, you guys just.
You don't understand.
And now some of my friends use the word schloody. So I'm so flipped out that you use the word schloopy because, again, identical twin sisters lost at birth.
So leeks vinaigrette, such a good thing. And such a nice kind of contrast, isn't it? So see, here's, tell us a little bit more and let's encourage people.
Yes.
Together.
Yes.
Sister. about how people introduce contrast.
Yes.
Into their meals. So like if you're having a rich something, it's nice to have a leeks vinaigrette.
Yeah,
that's a little bit of a contrast, a little bit of a sour next to something rich.
Yeah.
You want a little pickly something next to something that's too much.
Exactly.
As you know here, when we have curries and we have breadies and things like that, we want a little something of a chutney or something beside it because, again, it's introducing a little bit of a sweetness and a sourness. And we, even in South Africa, are kind of beginning to understand bitter a little bit.
Okay.
We're beginning to understand bitter a little bit. I think it's in this book, or was it in my last book? We did like bitter leaves with pomegranate, preserved lemon, miso.
Yeah.
Together in a dressing.
How is that bitter introduction coming into South Africa? Are people liking it?
Because
I know people love sweet here.
To be honest, it's brave, rich people buying their leaves at Woolworths. Yeah. Okay. But sometimes a pig pay.
Okay.
But the way they can do it is to kind of pull the right dressing in.
And it's nice, like mapley or honey. Mm-hmm. You need to add a little sweetness with the bitter. Yeah. I did, I love endive and radicchio, like those like really like because I love them with a really salty blue cheese.
Oh,
but
yes.
I always add, I think pear and blue cheese pear is blue the dream cheese. Combo.
Yes.
Obviously, grapes and blue cheese too, delicious.
Yeah.
But an endive salad with like a French like shallot vinaigrette, like my grandma would make like that with Roquefort and either red grapes or roasted pears. You can do the pears raw too, but roasted pears.
Oh, yeah.
And I always
pickled pears.
Yum. Delicious.
Yeah.
Pear jam, most underrated jam.
Most underrated jam. Absolutely. Pear jelly. Pear jelly. Hello.
Don't get me started.
Pear and lemongrass jelly. Hello.
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 I love that. You read the book. I can tell.
No. I have lemongrass in my.
One of my four jam recipes is pear lemongrass.
Okay.
Did you not know that?
No.
Wait, I really am scared about
us. In fairness, there is just too much here for me.
Yeah.
So there's too much here for me.
I basically give a formula of how to make any jam. And I say, here are four examples that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Tomato, vanilla, basil, my all-time favorite. Red tomato, it's really fun.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Specs we do that vanilla bean and milk, delicious. Which,
interesting,
by the way.
Interesting, the vanilla and the tomato. Like that.
Yeah. I had never seen tomato jam.
Does the vanilla bring a little bit of stability to the basil?
It brings, so basically when you taste it, you don't taste the basil at all.
Yeah.
Until the aftertaste. So some people make it just the tomato and the vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
If they want like a really sweet, yummy, you know, if you're making caprese salad, put a little dollop on top of your burrata, mozzarella, whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you want to have it in a nice cheese board, just to give it, again, that contrast, I think just adding, you just add the freshly chopped basil at the very end. So you've already made your jam.
And because you want to keep it green and fresh and amazing. Right.
Exactly. Then it just like gives that like.
Yeah. So I have another question, Eileen, a proper question that I need you to,
I'm ready.
I need you to help me, but we're going to say we're helping the other people, but actually we're helping to help you.
Okay. Okay.
But before I do that, I want to tell you about the ride or die salad in there.
Okay.
The ride or die salad is like lemon. It's like a lemon and fennel, almost like a syrup, like a, you kind of make it like a vinegar lemon.
Let me find this.
And you put it over burrata.
Hmm.
So now you break open your burrata, like kind of almost like a religion.
Yeah.
You break it and all the cream, and you can basically cheat a little bit and add extra cream.
And you make it shloopy, shloopy.
Make it shloopy.
Shloopy.
Make it shloopy. And then you have the lemon and the fennel going all over the place.
Oh, here we go.
It's very, very good.
Fennel with mojo de ajo.
Oh, that's another one.
Oh, that's another one. Just
anyway,
kidding.
But now can I get to my question?
You may
get
to your question.
That you're seriously going to help me with.
Okay.
I actually have the beginnings of an apple jelly.
Okay.
So I've boiled apples.
Okay.
I've strained them.
Okay.
To get all the pectin.
Right.
So I've got a good amount of pectin with my apple skins and pips.
Great.
In my.
Yeah.
Squeezy so I now actually just have the liquid.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
I did put a little bit of rosemary with the apple when I boiled it.
Yum.
But now I'd like you to take me through the apple jelly, what we could do with that apple jelly.
Wait.
And I'm going to make this and call it your jelly when I do this. But tell me a little bit about sugar, acid, how we're going to flavor this up. Talk to me. Talk me through the apple jelly.
Okay.
And you seriously will be helping me.
Okay, great.
Because I made one or two before,
yeah,
but I can't remember how I did it.
Okay, so apple jelly is very easy because there is so much pectin in apple. So you don't need to actually add that much sugar for it to set.
Yeah.
So sugar is the preserving agent. So when you make a jam, when you make a jelly, you add sugar because it, one, makes it sweet, but also it really helps it stay good longer, but also set a little bit.
Yeah.
And some people use jam sugar that has pectin in it.
Hard for us to get. I think one has to just make your own pectin.
I agree.
I think you have to make your own pectin.
I agree. And I think apples.
You talk
quince,
about that, don't you? About how to make your own pectin. I saw a pectin chapter.
Exactly. It tells you what fruit has the least and the most amount of pectin.
Yes.
But my rule of thumb is basically, it doesn't matter what fruit you're using. Because guess what? If you're using an apricot that has like not great pectin and your jam isn't set, that doesn't make the jam bad.
No.
No apricot jelly, for example, should be really set, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think looser the better, because that's the way the fruit is. Preserve its natural beauty.
Yeah. And you actually want a little bit of a feeling to it.
Completely.
By the way, South Africans, very good at apricot anything.
Trust me, I love it here. the apricot everything. Mrs. Ball's chutney was probably the first chutney I was introduced to that was like a South African chutney years ago.
Yeah.
And I just kept dumping it on chicken. And all my friends were like, you're a weirdo. Why are you putting that on chutney? And I was like, I mean, on chicken. And I was like, well, because it's like nice and sweet. And
yeah, yeah.
And then I come here and people are like, we love tomato jelly.
We have a whole thing.
We love peach. We love apricot.
We have chutney chicken with you, basically. South African speciality, if you want to know.
Yeah.
Chutney.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Ball's fine.
Fruit juice. Yeah.
Mayonnaise.
Okay.
All over your chicken. And you bake it off. And
fruit
that's
juice. On your chicken.
Fruit juice, chutney, mayo.
How do you...
It's a South African classic.
What kind of fruit juice?
It's called any apricot juice.
Thank you.
So this is a blue with a guava gochujang. Yum.
And butter.
Yes.
Because blue and butter is necessary. It's a necessary duo.
Mm. Yum. Yum. Also, a word for my now, even though we're twins. I now have to go to the gluten-free, and I make my own little toasty things.
These are delicious, by the way.
I think so.
They're really nice.
And they're little size and just perfect for this bite. Mm.
Huh? Yum.
Hmm?
I love guava and cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. My mom's best friend is Cuban, so growing up, I had a lot of guava and cream cheese, like pastelitos, or even on bagels. Bagel and cream cheese with guava, done. Mm-hmm.
So just straighten out for us again.
Mm-mm.
You live in England.
I live in London. Yeah.
You live in London.
Mm-hmm.
You have an American accent. You have French family.
Yeah. Chaos.
You have Cuban neighbors.
Yeah.
And are you happy in London now? And is that where your roots are? And that's where you operate from?
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's Greek. My dad is French. And so food was obviously a very big part of my upbringing.
Yeah.
And my mom traveled a lot for work. So because of that, even though I was primarily in school in Los Angeles, I also lived in Rome. I lived in Prague for a little bit. So I was always used to like trying new things. And my parents always pushed me to try new things and never be worried about it. Right. So my first solid food was actually a garlic anchovy that I took from my mom's plate when I was, you know, however many months old. So I started off with strong flavors. Loved them from the beginning.
Yeah.
University, moved to New York after that. And then, you know, Brexit was announced. I have a French passport. I've always wanted to live in London.
Mm-hmm.
After university, both of my parents moved back to France. So, you know, I'm an only child. So my people were in France now.
Right.
And so I said, I'm going to move to London. Great. My parents are right there. And I've always wanted to live in the city. And maybe I'll stay for like a few years. Oh, well. I moved October 2020. I've been there since. So now it's been a little over 5 years.
Wow.
I love it. I really, really love it. I know the weather is not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
However,
but then you can always come to South Africa.
Exactly. It's December. That's why I'm here. It's finally colder. I'm like, bye. I'm out. No, but it's really the fact that you can have 12 friends around a dinner table and everyone can have a different passport and a different point of view and a different flavor that reminds them of home. And people there, at least, you know, I'm very lucky that I have really good community there. And I think community is the most important part of living somewhere. And so I look forward to, even when I'm, for example, this week, I'm so happy to be here. And I'm so in love with South Africa. And it makes me so incredibly happy to be here. But I know that the second I land in London, I'm going to feel like, oh, I'm home. And I have so many things to learn.
That's why you can enjoy the place.
Exactly.
It's because you know where home is. And aren't we lucky?
So lucky.
Aren't we lucky to know that and to be able to still have adventures and flavor.
Exactly.
And to still try things and to still be bold and to still take other people there.
I honestly can't tell you where I'm going to live in my life, though. I have no idea where I'll be forever. I think right now I'm really happy in London and its flavors. I mean, there's food from all over the world. It's so fun. But it's a comfy place for now. And we'll see where I go. Because I'm very open to, like, if you told me, Claire, I know for a fact that in 10 years you'll be living in Timbuktu. Great. See you there. Come hang. Like, I have no idea. So.
But you know, the other thing is you have an online community.
I can work from wherever.
You can go from wherever. And, you know, it's marvelous. And people are devoted and love it and believe in it. And you're holding a lot of people's hands.
Thank you.
So thank you for that.
Oh, my God. It makes me...
And I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
Like, can you notice how out of the frame, in the frame I am? Because I'm so, so, so excited. And we've still got to work through all these flavors.
We really do.
I'd like you to try another thing.
Please.
I've got two other things for you to try. Because I need to tell you about Meboss. So I do want you to try Meboss. So Meboss is a uniquely Western Cape thing. It's dried apricot. So often you'd get, you know, apricot leather.
Yeah.
Well, so the apricots are dried and mushed together, and so you get the sour. Mm-hmm. But then obviously where the sour is, then you need a bit of sweet. So meatballs is often
it would be rude not
in
to.
Like kind of like little discs that you can slice and toss in sugar or just like as sour discs as they are.
Ooh.
But this is a meatballs chutney. So it's also chutney.
Okay.
But you need to, shall we have it with some cheese? Let's have it with some cheese. Right. I'm just going to plaster on here.
Perfect.
Again, I'm going to do the butter.
Great.
Because
it would be
life.
Rude not to.
No. There's so many things for you to taste. We could go on forever. I don't know why they're limiting us to this little time frame here on this page cast.
It's because people need to run out and buy upwards.
They do need to run out and buy upwards. It's flipping amazing.
Trust me.
And it's very beautiful. And
the images are gorgeous.
So we're going to try this here. Here's the meatballs chutney.
All right.
With some cheese.
Merci. Oh, look at that.
Look at the, I'm just giving you a little tiny, tiny tasty.
Taste cheers. There's that like slight spice.
Mm-hmm.
Yummy.
I mean, this is not my one. There's another little bit of another peasant's one. You dip your samosa in this one.
Or you can dollop it on here.
Can I just do that?
Yeah. Thank you.
How the hell do you need more dollops? Yeah.
Good.
Also.
Mmm.
From the workout.
Different.
Yeah.
Fresher.
Now, have you had sour fig confit?
I had what?
Sour fig confit.
I have no idea.
Okay.
What is that?
We do need to have him.
Okay.
We do need to have some sour fig confit. Okay, sour figs. From a succulent plant
mm-hmm.
that has a flower, and the flower dries,
mm-hmm.
and it becomes this strange, crazy creature. It kind of is dried.
Mm-hmm.
Dried flower, really okay. essential, but in its essence, is kind of this sticky, salty, and sour thing. I mean, they call it a fig. It does not anywhere near like a fig. But, of course, it is incredible.
Okay.
Okay, let's do it with a little bit of other cheese here.
Okay.
Just quickly. Sorry, page cast people, but like, we are not done. Oh, look at that.
Zoom.
For this one, we might not. Have I used up all our toast?
Still fine. We can.
Oh, we'll just use a piece of bread.
Yeah, great.
Sorry, now we're not even on this, but I do need you to try this.
We can do it for social media. You're welcome, guys. We're getting you your content. Sorry for standing up.
Okay,
I'll sit myself.
No. So, yeah, we're going to schloop that guy on there. Okay.
Slooper on.
Okay, but we don't want you to be sort of have too much of the other meatballs business. But now, a confit is a jam.
Yeah.
And so look at this amazing sticky color. Can you see that? And so this is intense. So are you ready for it?
I was born ready. Come on, Karin, don't doubt me like that.
It's sour, salty. Sweet. It's intense. It's kind of like very Western Cape. It's intense. Mm. It's full on.
Yum.
Yeah.
Mm.
Isn't that unusual? Do you get the whole? Mm-hmm. I wish I had a dried one for you to taste. Let me just test myself.
Yeah.
Just let me test.
Tastes slightly smoked at the end?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And so what you do when you have the dried thing, you bite off the top of it. It looks like a little... Looks like a little elf hat, and you bite off the top, and then you squeeze the sour, salty business into your mouth. It's like a sticky business. You'd swear it was a syrup, like a sticky already encapsulated in its thing, in its a neat device, and you squash it, and you get salty and sour.
It's very delicious.
Make the people get you some. I wish I had some ready for you, but did you like that? Do you want to have another taste?
I'll do one on its own so I can taste
it properly. Yeah, I'll do one on its own without any cheese to hinder you.
Sorry, PageCast. Forgive us. It's so interesting.
Isn't it? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You won't taste that anywhere else in the world, I don't think.
Like, this on a ham sandwich to me.
I know.
Yum. A little tapenade. A little prosciutto, a little of that.
Tapenade might take it over the edge. I've got some tapenade, but they won't let me do that. Okay. Now.
We can do it off camera. Sorry, guys.
But we just blame them for all the things.
Blame them for everything.
Okay, we're going.
We promise we're done. On camera.
The saltiness would be more in a different kind of angle of salty. Claire, condiment Claire, knock me dead.
Karen. Thank you for this. This has been so special and delicious and interesting.
It's been wonderful to have you right here at my table and to share with you and, you know, to feel your soul and to feel your joy and and everything that you bring to the world.
Thank you. Cheers, crunch.
Smoosh. Crunch. Shloop. 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 Shloop.
Thank you for listening to this episode of PageCast, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. Did you love what you heard? Don't just stop at the stories. Buy the books. Visit your favorite bookstore to grab your next read. And remember to subscribe, share, and join us again next week for more fascinating conversations. Until then, happy reading.